Well, a very good morning to you, family. It is with Jesus' joy that I greet you. We are so thankful to the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy endures forever. And on this beautiful Sunday morning, we thank the Lord that we can come to Him, not get away from Him. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are in the time of need, beloved. There's so much of uncertainty concerning the vaccines, concerning the rise of the third wave in our city. There's so much of gripe with the president for his slackness in acting and not having foresight. Well, all of these issues places us in our context in a time of great need. But we thank the Lord as believers. There's a throne of grace that is available for us 24/7. There we find grace and we obtain mercy. You know, we need mercy because mercy rewrites our lives. No matter how much you mess up, God's mercy is there for you and I. And some of the teachings that we have been releasing are hard teachings. They are aligning us. They are also causing discipline in our lives. And of course, bringing great adjustment to our lifestyle, to the way we worship, to the way we treat our Heavenly Father. And this morning, I desire from you as God's servant that yet again, this message is going to be hard. But hard messages are there to adjust you and correct you, because these are the last days. And you can almost feel that this is a stifling atmosphere. There is something that is stifling the atmosphere. Everyone is apprehensive. People are anxious. People are scared. And today, as believers, we transcend that feeling because we have Christ with us and we are in the presence of God. I want to address you as believers today. And we are dealing with the issue, what should be in the house or what is in the house. And last week, I spoke about the doctrine of Christ must be in the house. The doctrine of Christ must be in the house. And the word doctrine has to do with teaching. It's teaching. It has to do with teaching. So the doctrine has to do with God's word. It has to do with teaching. In other words, doctrine means something taught, teachings, instruction, the principles of the word of God that are taught, or more literally, to teach the substance. Now, today, every corporate gathering must have the substance of God's word in it. Any gathering or any corporate environment that does not have the substance of God's word is not a solid house. The foundation is not Christ. The foundation, that house is built on sand, and surely it's going to crumble or going to be exposed. So doctrine means something taught, teachings and instruction. And in this house, the house that we are involved in, there is so much of teachings and instruction that is going on. And this morning, again, we want to bring instruction to you. Instruction from the Word of God that carries substance. And it has the ability, the divine ability to adjust you and I. So we take the Word of God And the Word of God is the presence of God. The Word of God is the instruction of God. The Word of God has to do with the will of the Father. The Word of God has to do with the commandments that God has given to you and I so that we could practice those commandments. It's not only, as we will hear this morning, it's not only required from us to hear the Word, but also to practice the commands of the Lord. There's another word called theology, which means the study of God, the study of doctrines, study of matters pertaining to divinity. The word theology comes from two Greek words, theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning the word or discourse. So, like many other sciences, theology is a systematic and logical arrangement of certified facts as contained in the Word of God. So doctrine has to do with the teaching of substance. In John 13:17, if you know these things, theology, things about God, the doctrines about God, the teachings about God, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So it's not only good to know the Word of God, it's also, it brings happiness to you when you start practicing these various concepts, various disciplines, various aspects of God's Word. Hallelujah. We must be very careful, beloved. We must understand there is a great need of doctrine, and I don't want to labor this, but we live in an age of relativism in which there appears to be no absolutes. It is vital to know that God has absolutes. God, His Word, His truth, His laws stand out as eternal absolutes. You cannot shift from them. You cannot bend them. You cannot compromise them. His Word is an absolute, unchangeable, cannot change. They are forever reliable. Ideologies like atheism, agnosticism, relativism, situation ethics, existentialism, and other philosophies of men, as spoken of in Colossians chapter 2, have saturated this generation, thus causing a real need for sound doctrine. Say sound doctrine. Say doctrine with substance. Preachers must bring substance from God's Word to the people of God. And you and I, according to John 13, we have to not only hear the Word, but we have to practice it. Now, churches have dogmas, which are different statements of faith that they follow. The Anglicans have their own, the Methodists have their own, the Catholics have their own, the Pentecostals have their own, the Charismatics have their own. We have our dogma or a statement of faith in a book that Pastor Tamo has written, and it is important that we follow that, giving us all the statement of faith or the principles that we adopt as our guideline for our churches, our family, the Gate family. And so it is important that we understand that doctrine is not from the earth. Doctrine comes from God. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, "My doctrine is not mine, but He's that sent me." In other words, doctrine comes from the Father. And anything that comes from the Father is holy, is acceptable, and is an absolute. Hallelujah. You got that? Something just to for you to remember. Something that you must remember. That doctrine comes from God. Dogmas are arranged by man. A set of principles that guides that particular group, denomination, or church. Now, beloved, the scripture lists several classes of doctrine. However, it will be seen that all doctrine proceeds from three sources. One, from God, two, from Satan, or three, from man. These are also the three sources of thought, which is illustrated in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 23. Now, when you have some time, you will read Matthew 16, verse 13 to 23, and you'll have an idea. And in this passage of scripture, you will see three different thoughts or classification of doctrine: the doctrine of God, the doctrine of man, and the doctrine of Satan. Now, Jesus was talking to his disciples concerning himself, and he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter stood up and confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. This indeed was revelation from God concerning his blessed Son. You can read that there in that passage of scripture. So that was the thought of God. Then Jesus asked him, "What's going on down there on the ground? Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" Jesus was asking for the thought of man. Peter had a revelation, firstly, of the thought of God. Then Jesus inquired from them, "When you're going out to do the work of ministry, what do people think of me, and who do they say that I am?" And so they said to Jesus, the disciples said, "Some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Nothing sinful, but only human thinking is seen here, okay? It is human thinking apart from divine revelation concerning the Christ of God. A little later, Jesus was talking to the group, and he was telling them that his time was almost up and that he has to be leaving. And let's see the thought of Satan here. Satan entered Peter, and first the thought of God was in Peter, and he said, "You are the Christ." But verse 21 to 23, we see the thought of Satan clearly, where Peter, who a moment before had received the mind and thought of God, now confessed a thought which he received from Satan, who was opposed to the cross and opposed to the Christ of God. And then Jesus rebuked Peter, and he said to Peter, spoke to Satan in Peter, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he said to this is the thought of Satan. So in any doctrine, you'll have the doctrine of God, doctrine of man, and doctrine of Satan. So when you go to certain forums or certain places, you must be so careful that the doctrine of God is what you receive into yourself. You get excited about the doctrine of God. The doctrine of man is not sinful, as I said, but it's secondary. You got to find the thought of God, the doctrine of God, as a classification that comes from God himself. Are you with me? Wow, that's a lot to say this morning. But we got to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Bible says this in Matthew 16, 12, Acts 23, 8, Luke 12, 1. We've got to beware of the doctrine of religious leaders or religious forums. We've got to be very, very careful. Now, we'll talk more on the last days, how Satan, through his doctrine, is deceiving the church of Jesus Christ. He's raising up false leaders that are doing miracles, that are doing a lot of kind of legitimate stuff, but the nature within them is demonic and evil. So come with me this morning as we go into the Word of God. So let's just, as introduction, look at the nature of doctrine. Doctrine must be sound. Doctrine must be pure. Doctrine must be scriptural. Doctrine must be obeyed. And I will talk this morning about obedience. Obedience is absolutely important. You've got to obey doctrine from the heart. From the heart. You read about that in Romans 6, 17. And Jesus warns us, as I said, be careful of the doctrine of the Pharisees. And You know what the Pharisees do? You can read that about in Matthew 23 also, verse 1 to 3. They say and they do not. And they do not do. So you got to be very careful of those people that tell you but do not follow through in exercising that doctrine. Doctrine determines your character. Doctrine also affects our fellowship. Doctrine determines our destiny. And doctrine and love goes together. Amen. Amen. So much for that. So let's go into this teaching today and trust God that we will catch something that will help us in our adjustment in these last days. Surely these are the last days, and we must be so careful. So we spoke about the doctrine of Christ. This morning I want to speak about the obedience to God's word and God's command. In fact, this is foundational. Matthew, you go with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 29. The principle of hearing and understanding. There's a principle. What? Say after me. The principle of hearing and understanding. Hearing and doing. Say this after me. We're going to do the principle of hearing and understanding. The principle of hearing and doing. Doing the will of the Father gives us access into the kingdom of heaven. The will of the Father is detailed in the Word. In the Word. If you do not hear and do, you are seen as a practitioner of lawlessness. Oh my God. If you hear the Word of God and you don't decide and determine to carry out what the Word is asking us to do, if you are not shaped by the Word, if you are not carrying out the instruction of the Word, then you are seen as a practitioner of lawlessness. Lawlessness, beloved, is similar to rebellion. And if you look at this passage of Scripture, which we're going to read right now, from the New King James Version, Matthew 7, 21 to 21, 29, speaks about the foolish man and the wise man. The foolish man built his house on sand, while the wise man built his house on a rock. Now, all of you here, I'm sure, have heard this passage of Scripture over and over again. But we're going to continue repeating that until your house is solidly built on the rock, who is Christ. And there's certain evidence that your house is strong and on the rock. There's particular signs also that your house is being built on sand through foolishness. And we don't want that. Everyone today in this house must build their house on the rock. And we've been laboring that. Your foundation must be Christ. Your foundation must be strong in their last days. It's not how you start. It's how you're going to finish off. How you re-establish your foundation, beloved. So let's read together. This passage of Scripture is talking about Jesus saying to believers, I never knew you. Why believers? Because believers prophesy, believers cast out devils, believers do wonders in his name. So he's talking to them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does. Say after me the word. Say does. Say does. You've got to do the will of my Father in heaven. Many, not say many, another important word. It's a sad state of affairs, beloved, that many in the body of Christ, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You who practice lawlessness. So he's talking to believers who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. So two things. You could hear the word of God and carry them out or practice them or fulfill them or do or carry out the instruction. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Hallelujah. I want to be there. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, come into a service, hear the sermon, go out and do nothing about it. Hear the pastor speak, hear the word, pleading with you to get involved. You go out and you blank out. Jesus is saying such a person will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the house is not going to fall. Its fall is going to be great. It's going to affect a host of people. It'll affect your future. It'll affect your job. It'll may affect your children and their future. But the Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And if you don't heed to the word of God, God says, I will not remember even your children. And that's how serious he is, because his word is anointed. His word is life. His word has substance. His word is worth much more than all the riches of this world put together. He's not going to squander it. He's not going to allow it to be treated anyhow, especially by those to whom he gave his life and made a commitment to serve Jesus. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So let's look at the secret power of lawlessness. What is this lawlessness that's going to avoid people from departing from the Lord? Well, it's a sad state of affairs to depart when you hear the voice of the Lord saying, depart from me. You can say, I served you for 40 years. I ran this church for 20 odd years. Not interested. You are a practitioner of lawlessness. So the Apostle Paul explicitly told us that there will be terrible, dreadful, awful, horrific, shocking, fearful, and horrible times. These times are going to be filled with atrocities in the last days. You can read that in 2 Timothy 3:1. It goes on to detail that the reason for the perilous times, which stem not from our president, not from the opposition party, not from politics, not from medicine, not from the social economic position of our nation. No. It goes on to say that the perilous times will stem from widespread deception within the church. I ask the question, what is in the house? More personally, what is in our house, GMDS? Beloved, deception is a scary thing. Why? Because it is deceptive. A person who is deceived believes with all his heart that he is right and his ways are right. His decisions are right. His thoughts are right. When in reality, all of those things are outside God's plan, and that person is totally wrong. In Matthew 24, Jesus warned four times, beloved. It's worth taking note of it, because it's repeated four times in Matthew 24 by Jesus himself, to be aware of deception. In Matthew 24 verse 4, he said to his disciples, take heed that no one deceives you. You may ask me today, Pastor Ivan, what is the root cause of this deception? Why can't it be recognized? Well, beloved, the root cause of deception is none other than obedience to divine authority or lawlessness, saying, I don't want to fall under the authority of anyone. Even if God has raised up a man, I don't want him to tell me what to do. And sometimes we may be outside God's plan because of our disobedience, and we don't want to fall under the rule, guidance, oversight of someone that God has placed in charge of a local house. In James 1 verse 22, James 1 verse 22, but be doers of the word, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Well, beloved, it's a sad aspect when an individual deceives himself, not anyone else, he deceives himself when he hears the word and doesn't do it. Self-deception, self-delusion, self-deception is someone who is totally, who has totally lost it. It's totally controlled by forces of darkness. This means when a person hears the word of God during our corporate gatherings or through the recordings faithfully sent to you from Mama Val and myself, and you do not obey the word, then deception enters one's heart and mind. This person now lives under the conviction that he or she is on target, when sadly he or she is actually in error, where there is no true submission to God's authority, which includes the authority of his word. The door is open to subtle and great deception. Satan is the master of subtle and great deception. You know how he came into a pure environment, the Garden of Eden, how he found himself in this environment and deceived someone who walked and talked with God, was in God's presence continually. He got right in and deceived. There was a door opened. I urge you today, examine your life. Is there a door open to self-deception? Is there a door open to self-deception? Oh my God, have mercy upon our people. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. And I want you to go study these scriptures, because we don't want you to lead anyone else, especially your growing children, in the wrong way. We don't want them to become slaves to deception. No. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. To love the truth, beloved, is not just to enjoy hearing it. No, nice sermon, nice teaching. It's but to love obeying it, not just enjoying hearing it. I've seen some of you come into the house of God, and when the substance of God's word is being released, you're so casual. You have no pen. You have no page. You've not jotted the key aspects of God's word to go and practice how to obey those things. Many people today walk out of a corporate gathering impatient sometime. When would the word of God come to an end? Impatient to get outside of the classroom of his spirit. I love you today. That's why I want you to linger in the presence of God. I want you to jot down and take notes of key aspects of the word of God. In fact, I am also convicted. I must go back to this teaching over and over again until key aspects, these verses, resonate in my spirit, shake me and change me. Listen, beloved, let's go back to this passage of scripture. There is the lawless one is coming. The coming of the lawless one is working according to Satan. Every lawless person is being moved by Satan. And that person, that lawless person, there are people out now. Be careful. I ask you something. Do not be deceived by someone that is moving by power, signs, and lying wonders according to this passage of scripture. And they are practicing unrighteous deception in order to cipher out from you finances, some of the things. Be careful of private prophetic words. The people call you one side to give you a prophetic word. Even the devil can do that. From this passage of scripture, even the devil can move in power, signs, and lying wonders. And you can be mesmerized, beloved. You can empty your bank account. You can become a supporter of someone in this category month after month without your spiritual father knowing. That's why it's so important. Lord, the Lord has placed shepherds over you to guard you, to feed you, to guide you, to correct you, to put on, to press the alarm when something is going wrong with the sheep. You are sheep of the pasture, of our pasture. You are sheep of this flock. Hallelujah. And so I ask you today humbly, be careful. Be careful of the lawless one. The lawless one works according to the working of Satan. Can work with power, signs, and lying wonders. But they operate under the disguise of unrighteous deception. And they want you to perish. You will perish with such people. These people do not love the truth. Do not love preaching the word. Do not love the word going forth. There's no substance in the word. The substance of the word is doctrine. You've got to love doctrine. That's why Jesus said, doctrine does not belong to me. I'm the sent one. Doctrine comes from my Father. We've read that passage of scripture in John. Be careful, beloved. And if you join such people and you join such groups, be careful. God will send a strong delusion. And you will start believing a lie. You start believing that the unrighteous person is doing the right thing. And your shepherd, your spiritual leaders that God has placed over you, is not moving in signs, wonders, and miracles like the person that is practicing unrighteous deception. Be very careful. These are the last days. And Satan is a master of deception. He'll make you believe a lie. And you'll walk and detach yourself from solid spiritual covering. I'd like to ask you a question right at this point. How many of you hear the word of God that comes through all the different material that we placed in your hand? Are you excited to listen to the voice of one God has placed over you? Because in that voice, you must hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak. Are you excited to hear the word of God that comes on a Sunday morning to adjust you, to help you? Or are you so casual? Be careful, beloved. Don't treat the word of God like it's just a comic strip. It's just like the new Sunday newspaper. It's like it's just something that I can do away with. No, don't do that, beloved. That means you are treating the word of God shabbily. You're placing no honor and value on the word of God. Change your attitude. God is watching you. There is a merit and a demeriting system. There's a reward system for those that come closer to Him. If you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. That's a system, beloved. If you love His word, Jesus said in John 14 verse 23, Him and His Father will come and dwell with you. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Time is running out. Ezekiel 33 verse 30 and 31. Go with me now. Take your Bibles out. Open to Ezekiel 33 verse 30 and 31 and underline with me. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you besides the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Please come and hear what the Lord is saying. No, come and hear the word that comes out from GMDS. Come hear the word from our pastors. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Now many people in our churches love good preaching. They love good teaching. But when it comes down to reality, they still love their own lives more than they love God's will. And that is true. I've seen people promise me the world, be excited about the word, but they have no time to activate that word and to act on that word and to do that word. There's so many different things that come in the way to take their attention. They love their own lives. They love their own program. They love their own ways. They love everything that promotes their own lives more than they love God's word. Let's see what 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5 tells us. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5. Man, there's so much in the word of God that is adjusting us, aligning us, warning us, giving us guidance of how to live above our adversity and the atrocities that will come our way, calamities that are going to plague this earth. You can overcome them through this warning that is coming through the word of God. You are privileged today to receive such teachings from this house, teachings that will show you how to live and bypass some of these things that will affect your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. And Paul talks to Timothy and says to him, difficult times will come. Now the scripture is both has been fulfilled contextually or historically, but it also has a prophetic part to it where God is speaking to us through his word. Let's read from verse 3. But understand this, that in the last days, are we in the last days? Yes. Dangerous times, I'm reading from the Amplified. Dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. These are difficult days that will be hard to bear. Already we're sensing how difficult and how hard it is to bear right now, these days. But these are the last days. For people will be lovers of self. They'll be narcissistic. They will be self-focused. They will sort their business out before God's business. They will take care of their stuff because it has to do with self. This is narcissistic behavior. Secondly, they'll be lovers of money. Impelled by greed. They'll be impelled by greed. They'll be boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. They'll be ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Oh, be careful. God hates profane fire. We'll talk about that most probably next week. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection. They'll be calloused and inhumane, irreconcilable, malicious, involved in malicious gossips. They'll be devoid of self-control. In other words, immoral, intemperate. They'll be brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll hold on to a form of outward godliness, religion, although they have denied its power for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. The Bible says in verse 5, avoid such people and keep far from them. All of this, these type of people, you can't have them as friends. You can't bring them in the inner circle. You can't, yes, you must pray that they'll be saved, but you cannot join such people. Cannot be tolerated, because in no time they'll deceive you, and the devil will use them as agents of deception to deceive you, and you're going to fall in the same trap as them. We must love truth more than anyone and anything. We must passionately desire His will more than our comfort or our lives. We will take up our crosses and deny our rights and our privileges for the sake of fulfilling His will. What's His will? That we must fulfill and do whatever He wants us to do in extending the kingdom of God. Beloved, refuse to be complacent. Refuse to be lazy. Refuse to be indifferent and cold towards what God wants from you. You are saved to serve Him and His purposes. It's amazing how these writers of scriptures that we've listed so far, they foresaw our day with greater accuracy than we can see today. How come? In Matthew 24, 12 and 13, this is what is said to us. Because lawlessness will abound. Abound means it will grow to unprecedented levels. What? Lawlessness. Children will be lawless at home. People will come into the house of God and just scream out and say all sorts of things. Lawless. People won't want to obey the word of God. They have no love for truth. It's coming. The agent of deception is on the loosed by Satan, and he's here already. The deceiver is in many houses, many circles. That's why always work in reference to Mama Val and myself. I'm talking to the people of our household. Always work in consultation with someone that you're accountable to, and your spiritual parents are the ones God placed over you so that you could be accountable. You're welcome to go anywhere as long as you've worked with your spiritual parents on this. And I encourage everyone in other households also, always work with your spiritual covering concerning your whereabouts, where you're patronizing, and what you're doing. But be careful of those that are agents of deception. But he who endures to the end, only those that endure to the end will be saved. Will be saved. Hallelujah. Time is gone, beloved. I will continue next week speaking about obedience to God's voice, God's word, God's instruction. I want you to continue. Seek the face of God. Love Him. This is your pastor and your friend signing off with the words by saying, watch and pray, Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. God bless you. Shalom.